Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. Hello, everybody.
I mean, happy Monday. It's an embarrassment of riches. We have a new Taylor Swift album that is new and like just came out of nowhere. We have a new episode of Grey's Anatomy. We have Hanukkah, my very first Hanukkah.
Oh my gosh, so much to talk about.
I know. Where do we start?
Where do we start, Taylor?
Yeah,
I just have
to
say, you know, last week on the podcast that we talked about like how people are allowed to have different opinions and that's okay. But then I see someone post in the Facebook group about just something along the lines, not even bashing her, but just being like, does anyone not get the Taylor hype? Like I feel so left out because I don't get the excitement of her dropping a new album. And I get like defensive. I had to calm myself down and be like, that's okay.
It's totally okay. But you know what's so funny is like Taylor Swift is like an infinity pool and I just want to keep swimming in it all day long. Like I cannot get
enough. So creepy sometimes. You know, like that is so creepy.
Do you guys want to know something so funny? My Red Star, I'm having dinner with Red Star's brother and sister-in-law this week. We're doing outside.
A backyard social distance exactly. Hang. Got it.
But she said, she texted Red Star and said, I'm listening to the Taylor Swift album, so I have something I can talk to Tanya about. I was like, that is the cutest, sweetest, most endearing thing I've ever heard.
That's really nice. Yeah. It's, I understand. Even Becca Tobin, our Lady Gang queen, said, it makes me sad that I'll never understand the hype or the excitement of Taylor Swift dropping a new album or an episode of The Bachelor. And I was like, man, those are two things that we talk about. I mean, as a society, we talk about so much in pop culture.
I know, but I get it. Like, I get the non-Taylors. I feel like are people who don't really, I don't want to say don't have emotion, but like, I feel like Taylor's one of those people that her music is very transcendental.
Okay. Yeah, didn't flow.
It didn't flow. Yeah. It like takes you to this place where you just feel things deeply. And some people just are not like that. You know what I mean? Some people are just not wired like that. Like you could listen to a song and just have, it won't move you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like for Taylor people, you hear a song and you're just like, transported into another universe.
But when
it's transcendent, that's the
transcendent
word you're looking for.
What did I say?
Transcendental
or something. Wouldn't you think that I would be one of those people who wouldn't?
Shockingly, yes.
I know. So yeah. I think that's why I don't really understand how just if to appreciate if you don't like the melody to at least appreciate the lyrics, if you don't like the lyrics appreciate the melody. But anyways, it's interesting and a lot of people commented and they were like, same here. And it's just kind of a difference of opinion. But for some reason, I'm like, how do you not get excited about it?
Yeah. I think all the people who are listening that aren't Taylor people, give it a second. Just give it a couple spins from top to bottom. And I think you will understand.
And if you don't, that's fine too.
And read the lyrics along with it. That helps.
Okay. So getting into Evermore. We'll start there. I listened, right, like, you know, when it came out at 9 p.m. here, and there wasn't one song that on the first listen I was like, oh my God, that's just, oh my God. And I was kind of shocked.
I had a few of those, two of those, to be honest.
What were they?
Willow.
Number one.
But it's hard. When you go so hard out the gate with number one, it's hard for me to pick back up because I was just like,
are we doing our top threes? Is that what's happening right now?
Well, I just want to talk about the album as a whole right now.
We can't pick top three. I feel like we got to do five.
Okay.
Because even with five, I have a couple honorable mentions.
Okay.
So it's like really
okay,
top
so the
10.
Whole, okay.
Maybe just rank the album.
All right. So.
So Willow and Long Story Short were my straight out the gates, like boom.
Like one listen and you were like.
Hooked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark Easton.
Yeah, okay. Long Story Short's in my top three as well. I also was very into No Body, No Crime because, you know, I'm into this differently than you guys are. We've talked about this before. I'm not one of these people that's analyzing the lyrics, that's trying to come up with what Evermore songs are connected to which folklore songs. This is part two of this other song. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want a melody. I just want a good chorus. Great chorus in Long Story Short, in No Body, No Crime. And I also really like Dorothea because it's a great melody.
I know Dorothea was a slower one, like a slow build for me, but now I really like it.
I am not catching the hype of No Body, No Crime. I like the Olive Garden mention a lot in that song. Mm-hmm. But
that's made for you, dude.
I know. I really thought that more of it would hook for me, but Ivy is a big standout for me. The first listen through, that one really caught me, along with Willow. Those are my two like standouts from like right out the gate.
Ivy's so...
It's so good.
Good.
I love the lyrics of Ivy. And I will say, so I went into that night being like a little bit, I was like disappointed in myself that I didn't have that emotion right off the bat. And I was like, it's fine. I'm going to listen to it in the morning, turn on my fireplace, just like go through it. And well, I actually liked No Body, No Crime, but I kind of wish Haim would have had more on that song.
Yeah.
But I fully appreciated the Olive Garden shout out. I was very pleased with that. And then after the next day, I was on TikTok and someone did a mashup of All Too Well and Champagne Problems. And so that one all of a sudden had my attention because I was like, oh, this is good. And then Gold Rush.
Oh, yeah.
And then if I had heard Evermore before I heard Exile, I think I would have been more blown away by it. But because Exile with Bon Iver, don't know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah, Bon Iver.
Was so... It was my top listened song of 2020.
Wow.
And so I was just kind of like, it's really good and it's beautiful, but it didn't have the instant reaction that Exile gave me.
Evermore is neither here nor there for me. It's okay. It's like, I'll take it. I'm not going to skip it, but it doesn't really do things to me. Mm-hmm. But
whereas Exile, I remember you wanted that song in and around your mouth.
In and around my mouth. Oh. In and around my mouth. So
the creepy things you say linger in our minds sometimes.
Yeah. And they don't go away. She's an infinity pool that she wants to swim in forever.
Yeah, if somebody sent you that DM, Tanya, you would report them and block them.
Yeah, I would.
Tanya, you are an infinity pool I'd like to swim in forever. Blocked.
No, I'd actually like that. I'd be like, thank you so much. Quite the compliment. So long story short, I felt like that was, and it's still like, I'd say those are my top two, Willow and Long Story Short. Top two, love the lyrics, love the melody. Long Story Short is just like such a T-Rad song. I can't even like handle it. Marjorie was a builder as well. Didn't love it at first. And now I like it. Same with Dorothea. I don't really like the songs with names in them. Like, it's just kind of... Yeah. It's kind of a rule for me, but they both kind of grew on me. And then I didn't like Closure very much, and people started telling me the meaning of it, and then I started to like really get deep in it, and I like it more now. And then same with Happiness. I did not like Happiness. I was so bored by it. And then I started reading the lyrics as I listened to it, and I was just like, oh my gosh. I almost felt like people know me better than I know myself because they were like, Tanya, how do you, this is the most Tanya song ever. So then I really got into it and started like reading and listen. I listened to it probably like four times.
But I think you're a melody person. So first, I think you hear melody and what catches you. And then once you saw the lyrics, because I love lyrics, but I even remember when My Tears Ricochet came out. It wasn't my favorite. And then when she did it in the Folklore Pond Studios or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The lyrics are magical.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be happiness after you, but there was happiness because of you.
That's good. That's good.
So good.
Those struck me, too. And the hook, I'm sorry, the bridge. The bridge in Happiness is really strong, too.
And laundry's done.
No. Tanya's laundry is the most aggressive sounding laundry I think I've ever heard. The washer was doing like the doom, doom, doom. It sounded like someone was like about to
break in. Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny is I have a girlfriend of mine who everybody comes to me and like wallows in their sorrow sometimes when it comes to the Taylor stuff because like they're just like, I cannot get into this album. you know, tell me to keep going. And I'm like, keep going. Just keep giving it a little more. And I would like tell them like three songs to focus on, like my favorites or whatever. But I do think some people really don't like this album. Like they think it's like the cheap man's version of Folklore.
Okay. But then other people, what made me feel like I was really missing out is that some people are like, this is her best album ever. But I, earlier in the day before the new album came out, I went through a bunch of her, all of her old albums and chose like my two to do in a poll. And I was like, God, there's some just, she has some amazing songs.
Do you know what I just love about Taylor is that she's just like, you know, oh, I dropped an album in August. Okay. I have all these songs. I'm going to plop out another one because I own my own shit now. And I'm just going to do what I want, when yeah. I want, however I want. And it's obviously good. Like, you know what I mean? Like everybody's still obsessed and she's just on her own terms, doing her own thing. And I'm just so obsessed with it. Like, I also love that she's re-recording all of her songs because she doesn't need the money. And I think she knows that. It's not a money thing for her. It's a principle thing. Yeah. It's a character thing. And I'm just like, oh, I love it.
I also feel like there's rumors that there's a third album that's going to be released.
I think they debunked that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, something. I'm in this chat. Let me look. I'm in this like, actually it's our morning show group chat, but we had to do a sub chat because everybody was annoyed with us.
So. I cannot even imagine what that would be on mute so fast for me.
Yeah.
Not disturb.
It's aggressive. But yeah, there was a new thread or Reddit thread that basically debunks the third album.
Well, Reddit threads are always accurate, so.
So yeah, it's one of those, I'm so thrilled that it's cold outside and I've literally put it on every single morning when I wake up and I'm making breakfast. 95P does not listen to music the same way as I do. Yeah. Whereas I just play songs and albums over and over and over again.
Same.
So we disagree there. There's been some, can we maybe put something else on or just nothing? No music.
See, it's funny. Cause I feel like I think that Red Star appreciates my love for it. Like mm-hmm. he's not a music person. Like, you know, those people that work at home and have music on all the time. That's me. And then there's people that like work at home and are just in silence.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
And so not the same. But yesterday was Sunday and we'd made dinner and we were just like sitting down and I like to listen to music when we're eating. And he's like, what do you want to listen to? And I don't say it because I'm just like, you know, I listened to it enough on my own. I'm not going to like put him through it. And he goes, I want to check out the new Taylor album. Let's listen to the new Taylor album. And I was like, you know what? You get a because.
Wow. I did not know. I was not prepared. Wasn't prepared.
Did you announce it like that? Like, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah, like a business transaction?
Or like Oprah, like, you get a.
In my head. In my head, I said it because I was just like, you know what? This is just what I wanted. You know what I mean? I wanted a nice glass of wine, this album. It was cold out. We made like a cozy stir fry and it was just like what I wanted. And so I was like, there you go.
There you go.
Hopefully he learned a valuable lesson.
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Have love's dog.
Well, switching gears to Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
What did you think of this week? It was hard because I actually totally forgot about Grey's Anatomy because it was Thursday and that's when it was all the Taylor hype. And then I was like, this morning I realized I hadn't even watched Grey's Anatomy because I've been focused on Evermore. So I put it on. It's fresh in my mind.
Yeah. It's getting a little dark for me.
Very heavy.
Spoiler alert. I hate to say that because it is a reflection of like our world and what we're living in right now. And I have all the respect for people that are working in the hospitals and mm-hmm. having to, that's their daily reality. Like mm-hmm. I could not do it. I can't even watch an hour of it on my TV. Like mm-hmm. it was really hard to finish that episode for me.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
I that episode, I was like, I get why my wife is no longer watching this show, though. She promises she will come back someday. She's out for this season. And I get it. When we lost Bailey's mom, and again, spoiler, but I feel like there's an understanding that we're all going to watch Grey's before we listen to the podcast. We're going to listen to the new Taylor. That all makes sense. So anyway, Luz and Bailey's mom, I was like, yeah, I can see why my wife's not enjoying, in the traditional sense of the term, enjoying this season right now. And then the scroll at the end, very powerful, very impactful, but I get wanting to escape. I'm not going anywhere. I'm all in, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. I also just felt like the episode, on top of being very sad, which they've always had, there's always those episodes that are just like dark and you walk away feeling like beat down because it was so heavy. But I think because we are literally like, this is happening every day for people, it was a little darker than ever. But also I felt like the episode, take out that aspect of it, was kind of slow. Like, I kind of felt like it dragged a little bit.
Yeah, the scene on the bench with Bailey and Maggie, I could not believe how long that scene was.
Okay, I think that's what my brain keeps going back to, is that
it was
scene.
A good scene, and they said a lot of important things in that scene, but I don't remember a Grey's scene ever going as long as that one did.
Yeah, well, the one thing I did appreciate from this episode was when Jackson was talking about how his mom wears her mask, because just the other day, I was sending something at FedEx, and they're actually really, shout out to FedEx, they are very tight shipped over there in terms of just like,
they're the tightest sure ship in the shipping business.
Yeah, like making sure everybody's 6 feet apart. They have like these little things that you stand on and like, you know, spaced out, and they're very diligent about it. But this man walked in and he was standing behind me in line and his mask was right under his nose. And I literally was just like looking at him, just like, can you just put that over your nose, sir? Like, just 1 inch higher. Just a little higher. Thank you.
Well, did y'all see the we'll get back to this, but I appreciated that Karasik, because I literally thought Karasik was a goner in this episode.
It looked like it, yeah.
The way he came in, I was like, uh-oh. And then I'm glad that there was a,
were you scared that you spoke it into the universe?
I wasn't scared that I spoke it in. I was almost more impressed with myself. I wasn't scared. It was more of a pride thing.
Like, I have powers.
So when he, when all of a sudden he made a miraculous recovery, I felt like I wasn't as good as I thought I was predicting the storyline. But I needed some more like beach scenes with some characters that came. I was ready for Lexi and Mark.
More afterlife Meredith would have been.
Yeah, good. I'm living for those scenes.
Well, if you want to see some George O'Malley, head flight on attendant. Over to the flight attendant.
I told you I started. I just haven't finished it. But
so, I just wanted to give a shout out to all the scrubbers who shot it to me straight. I thought that it was over, but allegedly they drop out. They drop them like week to week, like a normal show.
Yeah.
So I just finished the last episode that's out, but I guess it's still not over.
I was shocked when you said that it was over, because I was like, that was so quick that they did that.
Yeah, I don't know how shows work anymore. I don't know if they're bingeable or droppable or like what, but I'm up to date on The Flight Attendant. And let me just tell you, it is good.
Okay, well, I'm watching Wilds, which is on Amazon or Prime Now or something.
Yeah.
It is very interesting. It's kind of all over the place. Like, I'm really hoping they tie up some loose ends, because otherwise I'm going to be very frustrated at the end. But it's about these 9 girls, and they get shipwrecked, and they're just like navigating how to stay alive. But there's like a lot of twists and turns. But there are some, it's one of those shows where I'm watching it kind of like Flight Attendant, where I was watching it and I was like, I could do without these scenes of her going back to the room with him. Mm-hmm. And then on this one, they have where some of the girls are talking to detectives, and it feels like unnecessary scenes. It kind of breaks up the show that when you're in the flow of it, if that makes sense. But it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to what you think about it.
Does it have any sort of love story to it? I've come to realize that if there's a love story involved, I can get behind it in some way. Because at the root of The Flight Attendant, even though it is like a murder mystery, there's like a love. It's like kind of a love story, kind
of. There's not much of a love story happening. They're mostly just trying to stay alive. So it'd be a little.
I'm going to skip it for now. I just need a little levity.
I just finished Queen's Gambit, which is phenomenal. Really,
yeah,
really
I wanna
great.
Watch that.
And I just started Ted Lasso, which you know this, Jason Sudeikis on Apple TV+.
Uh-huh.
He's a football coach in America. He's hired to coach soccer in England. He knows nothing about soccer. I saw the trailer. I was like, this looks like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But on social media, people kept saying, this is a charming little show. And so I watched it, and that is a charming little show. I'm loving it.
I'm funny?
Very funny.
Okay.
Oh, we like funny. I'm going to watch that Christmas movie that you suggested to me. Please. Tonight, actually. The Happiest Place?
Happiest Season.
Happiest Season.
I'm so jealous that I don't get to watch it again because I watched it prematurely, I feel, because it was like December, you know, it was like either end of November or beginning of December. And I was like, well, let's just give it a shot. And it was just so cute. It's such a great, like,
Christmas
holiday
movie.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, I'm going to watch it while I wrap presents.
I watched it. I watched it the other day and I liked it a lot, but a lot of it was very upsetting. And I think, you know,
why?
There's a character that's really shitty. I'm sorry to say. Becca, I would like to talk to you about this offline because I don't want to spoil anything.
Spoiler alerts? Okay, don't spoil it because I want to watch it.
But no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There was a part, like I was like screaming at the screen for a lot of the movie.
I think majority of people who watched it felt this way too.
Yeah, it is cute and it's fun. But yeah, this one character is so upsetting. it almost bumped me for the whole thing.
It's still good. It has like all the classic like things that a Christmas movie has, like a Christmas movie rom-com or whatever you want to call it.
I love a Christmas movie rom-com.
Yeah. We need to take a break, but I wanted to tell everybody about Affirm. So the holidays are officially here.
No, not like they're here. Like knocking on, knock, knock, knock.
They're right at the door.
Right at the door.
And all of those gifts for friends and family can't wait, but paying for them can. With Affirm, you can pay over time at thousands of stores like Walmart, Pottery Barn, Casper Sleep, Poshmark, and Priceline, and so many more. So whether you're shopping for one big ticket item or you want to check everything off your gift list, Affirm gives you a smarter and more transparent alternative to your credit card.
With no late fees or hidden charges, Affirm tells you exactly how much you'll owe and when you'll be done paying, so you can buy the perfect gifts today with no gotchas tomorrow. Visit affirm.com/scrub to shop the latest in electronics, fashion, home goods, travel, and more. Then you can pick the payment plan that works best for you.
Head to affirm.com/scrub to get started today. That's affirm.com/scrub. Or download the free Affirm app for eligible customers. All right, we are back. Tanya, you had pelvic floor this week. How'd it go?
I'm happy to report, you guys, that my pelvic floor exercise I have been doing, and I've been doing my homework, and now I have graduated, and I only have to go once a month now instead of every week, and just as like check-in, check-up, and I've been symptom-free for like 5 or 6 months, knock on wood.
Oh, she reached onto the ground.
And yeah, so all's good. I'm really stoked.
Great. Proud of you for graduating.
Thank you so much. So once a month.
I am starting real like therapy. Not saying pelvic therapy isn't real therapy. I meant to say different therapy. A different kind of therapy with a new therapist tomorrow.
I'm exercising my vagina. You're exercising your mind.
Emotional trauma.
Actually, I want to be correct. It's not my vagina. It's my pelvic floor, which is similar. But not, it's like the best favorite differentiation. I just want to make that clear.
Oh. Just so you know, a lot of people understand you, which concerns me sometimes a little bit, that so many people are like, I get what Tanya's saying. Like, I agree with Tanya. I get what she's saying. I'm like, so there's more like-minded people.
There's more of
people
me in this world. Yeah. And you know what? I appreciate it.
Well, but look, people say they understand you, but this is what I'm dealing with on Facebook for the past week. People continue to post about it and DM me about it, the whole favorite versus best situation. And I think they are giving an interpretation. I think they're trying to give you a benefit of the doubt that isn't there, but I wanted to ask you, because maybe it is there. Maybe I'm wrong. Because I think it's human nature to try to take the weirdness that comes out of your mouth and make some sense out of it, when sometimes there's just no sense to be made. So They think you were saying Christmas is my favorite time. No, Christmas is the best time of year, but yes. Winter is not my favorite season.
Correct.
That's what you were saying?
This is, she is just agreeing because this actually makes sense. But
yeah,
she
that's
just,
not what
totally
you were saying.
Sense. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Then why didn't you say that?
Why didn't you say summer is your favorite season? Winter's not your favorite. Winter's not your favorite season, but Christmas is the best, like, vibes.
That's what I said.
No, it isn't.
Say, you did, never said winter or summer.
Okay, read between the lines.
Oh, no,
this,
you said Christmas is the best time of
Dorothea's,
year, but it's not my favorite time of
year. Get on my Taylor Swift level and just get on my Taylor
Listen,
Swift
I
level.
I don't even think you knew that until someone else broke it down for
I
you
agree.
And you know that.
Because you said time of year for both. Christmas is the best time of year, but not my favorite time of year. That makes no sense to me. Christmas is the best time of year, but summer's my favorite season. Makes absolute sense.
Yeah. And like Christmas is the best time of year. It's so fun. Everyone's so jolly. But my favorite season of the four seasons is summer.
That makes sense. And honestly, I think I agree with that statement.
I do too.
I
think I
feel very
too.
Validated and vindicated by our listeners sometimes, because sometimes, like, I leave here and I'm like, am I nuts?
Tanya, you can look me in the eye and tell me that's exactly what you meant.
Yes, but not in those words.
Oh, here we go.
Someone DM'd me yesterday and I thought this was comparable to what Tanya was meaning. Like, I posted about the Beach Boys and about my favorite members. And someone pointed out, they're like, Brian Wilson is the best Beach Boy, but Carl Wilson is my favorite. Brian Wilson started right. the band. He wrote Pet Sounds. He's like
no,
the most influential.
No.
We tried no. this last week.
It's
this
a,
is not the same
It's the
thing.
Same thing. And then, but Carl
it's
is
not.
My personal favorite.
Because that's like, that's quantifiable too. Because there's
not
one guy who's the brains of the band.
Quantify? Are we in a quantum? Are we living in a quantifiable world? That's not a world I want to be living in.
All I'm saying is,
I don't.
Someone made sense of what you said, but I don't think that's what you meant. So I'm sticking to that. And I, whoever the scrubber is that said that, I appreciate you and I agree if that's the case. But that is not what Tanya meant when she said it originally.
I just like being in my unquantifiable universe over here, and I'm just gonna stay in it. Okay.
What way do you put the toilet paper on?
The right way.
Which is?
Whichever way it comes out of the bag. I don't know. I just take it out of the bag and put it on the
No, roll over on. The roll or under the roll. It comes out over
I
the roll or it comes out under the roll.
I need to go check her bathrooms real quick.
Yeah, go do that.
I'm going to take the bathroom.
They're probably all different.
I wish
really?
I could take the mic with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, because I just take it out of the bag
this
and put
is
it
a crime. This is a crime.
Just put it on the roller.
But if this is something people are very passionate about, over the roll or under the roll.
But, like, why?
But so you don't know. So, okay, Easton, are yours over the roll or under the roll?
Becca said mine's right.
Check. Tell her to check multiple bathrooms.
She is. She's going
to. We have no rhyme or reason at our house. It doesn't matter.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They're both right? All right, so there we go. I did the right way.
Most people say that the correct way is over the roll.
Over the roll?
People go really crazy about this. They're very passionate.
Yes.
Okay, so Tanya's are on the right way, the two that I checked. She still has a bathroom downstairs that I'm going to examine on the way out. I posted that someone in my home, who was Hink, put it on with it coming under. It is more effort for you as a user of the TP to have to go under the roll to grab it as opposed to it coming over. So I posted, like, the disrespect. And so many people were like, no, that's the right way that it's supposed to be on.
My wife and I have gone back and forth about this quite a bit over the past 23 years. She is strongly over, and I was raised with under the roll. I say that because I now acknowledge the error of my ways. I raised the white flag of surrender in this argument probably 15 years ago. And we are now a fully over family. And I put some polls up on social media, and it always comes back overwhelmingly over. So I'm all in on the over, kind of like the under, but it's okay.
Oh, you like the under.
I do like the under, but it's all right. I'm not passionately enough to have these discussions any further.
I have no passion on this topic.
Same.
That's so interesting. Yeah, maybe it's because like, Phoebe, like at one point when she was little, she used to be able to reach the toilet paper, and she, and if it was going under, it was easy because it would just naturally fall down that way, and she could get into it. So I do feel passionate about it, and a lot of other people are very passionate about it. And the directions for toilet paper says over.
Like, I've literally taken my toilet paper and I just put it on there. I don't even think about it.
Well, you got lucky because two of yours are right.
That's probably how they come in the roll. That's probably like, I just literally take it out and go like this. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it doesn't come a certain way. It's just in the bag.
It's kind of all about how you take it out, really.
I bet Socrates has an opinion on this.
Yeah, we can ask him.
Text
that's
him.
Red Star for yeah. scrubbing in. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. He's Socrates,
Socrates
on the Seacrest
Socrates is
show.
His radio nickname. Red wow. Star is his scrubbing in.
At least podcast. They didn't call him by his actual name. That would have been embarrassing.
Well, you know, actually not really embarrassing because I'm so – I have stalking. Oh, by the way, I have to tell you the cutest thing ever. Hold on. I'm going to ask him really fast. What is it? Okay. Are you over or under?
Yeah, for toilet paper. Oh, by the way, mm-hmm. while you're typing that, I once interviewed a very famous celebrity when I worked for the Rick Dees radio show. And I asked her – and it's funny. I asked her two different questions. One, she refused to answer because it was too personal. I asked her whether she or her husband controls the remote control at home, and she refused to answer that.
Wow.
But when I said over or under toilet paper, she said under, which was shocking to me. And that celebrity is Jennifer Lopez.
Wow.
This was back when she was married to Mark Anthony.
I was literally about to say, who was she married to
yep.
at that time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine J-Lo has control over the remote.
I agree.
Get that energy.
I thought it was a good question, sure. But she didn't want any part of it.
Okay, wait. I have to tell you the cutest thing because, so I'm doing Hanukkah for the first time.
I was just going to ask about this.
I know. I'm actually, a lot of people have been DMing me like about, just, obviously I'm Christian. I celebrate Christmas. And I've been posting a lot about Hanukkah. And so they're like, what, you know, like, how has it been? Like, what is it like? You know, just all these questions. Like, are you still going to celebrate Christmas? And I was like, yes, of course. But Hanukkah's first. So that's obviously what I'm doing now. But so on Friday night, we did like a decorated my Christmas tree. So it was kind of like we celebrated the first night. It was actually the second night of Hanukkah, but we kind of just celebrated the first night of Hanukkah and like Christmas together.
Christmaka.
And so he made homemade latkes and he goes, you might want to get something out of the stocking that the stocking Santa left you because you might want to use it tonight. And I was just like, you don't know how, like, he doesn't know how stockings work because he's never had a stocking before. Do you know what I mean? So, like, he came over and he put some stuff in my stocking for the night. But I was like, you don't really get your stocking until Christmas Day. You know what I mean? Like, Santa comes on Christmas Eve and fills the stockings, and that's what you do on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know. So he was like, there's something that you want to use tonight in your stocking. And I was just like, bless your heart. Not how stockings work. You don't just get to pull stuff out of your stocking throughout the month. Like,
was it lingerie? Something you'd want to use tonight?
No, I know. Oh. I thought it was. And I was like, and then second of all, you don't put like dirty things in the stocking. No, it was like this really cute little like Santa like outfit that you put on your wine bottle.
Oh,
so
cute.
It was like a cute little like koozie that you put on your, with like a little Santa hat.
Cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. But it's just funny because he's never celebrated Christmas, so he doesn't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I've never celebrated Hanukkah, so I don't know either. Like, yeah. I'm learning about the Shamash and how, you know, he says the little prayer and you light the candles from right to left. And I didn't realize that like you have to put stuff under the menorah because the wax falls down and gets all over your stuff. Like,
yeah, it's all just learning.
Yeah.
It's really fun that y'all are doing that. So you get, how many presents do you get? One a night?
One a night for 8 days.
Wow. That's really fun.
It is. It's really fun. And like, you have to get creative because 8 is like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
But it's nice. It's showing me how thoughtful he is.
Cute.
Yeah.
What have you gotten so far?
He got me these little ornaments that are like a guy and a girl. And the guy is, he likes to ski. So the guy is a skier and the girl is a tennis player. So that was cute. Every year, we were adding to my tree, you know, like cute little ornaments.
Yeah.
And then he got me this heart necklace.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a diamond heart necklace.
It's really pretty.
It's really pretty.
Meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then these like coffee table books that are all about like women in history, like
women empowerment
yeah. history, like for my coffee table. So they're like really pretty and big.
Perfect for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're thoughtful.
Great job, Red Star.
Yeah. So far, so good.
I'm actually, my sisters and I are road tripping to Louisiana for Christmas, which is
how far is that?
25-hour road trip.
Wow.
But my whole thought process is,
do you drive the
like,
whole way?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure we could take turns, but
you're not like staying in a motel or hotel or.
No, we're going to stop. We're going to stop and find. I'm like researching hotels that are like no contact, you know, like where you just check in on the.
I think like, a lot of them are like that now.
I think most of them are. But I just thought with flying, it's one thing for one of us to fly, but with three of us flying and especially not knowing what it's going to be like right now. We were just like, let's just make a fun road trip. So we're just stopping in places I've always wanted to go, but wouldn't really go there unless I was driving through there. So I've done it once from Louisiana to LA, and it was, we just drove as many hours in the day as we could. It was brutal.
I can't tell if that's fun or like horrible.
We're really excited about it.
Okay.
I would enjoy that. Because I would have a good time with that. Yeah.
Because there's just not much going on here that I don't feel. It's like we kind of have our time. We can take our time and get there and feel like, you know, like we're quarantining here and like while in LA and then just hitting the road. So I just feel like it's the safest way to do it.
Should I do a road trip?
I'll let you know how it goes. And then on the way back, because we're going to be coming back, I think we might take a different route, even if it takes longer.
See different things.
So should be fun. I might drop the car off and have it like shipped back or something if it's like brutal, but well. It's gonna be fun.
That's kind of fun. I actually like that because I think I'm gonna take some vacation, even though I'm not going on vacation. I'm taking vacation from work, and I haven't gone anywhere, but a road trip sounds kind of fun. Not very far. I don't think I could do 25 hours.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty ambitious. And Texas is going to feel like it's never ending, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, I've driven across the country quite a bit, and I do enjoy it. I do enjoy the time, and I enjoy seeing the world. And I would love to show my kids more of the country than they've seen. But we'll see. A lot of
people have been doing that, like renting RVs and just like going on
trips. Well, I mean,
trips.
Yeah, now is the time to do it if you're going to do it, I feel like. I'm excited about that. And I was, you know, debating on if I was going to go home for Christmas because I stayed here for Thanksgiving and I just, you know, I'm trying to do my part, but I want to see my family. So we're doing what we're doing.
I love that.
Anyways, we didn't have emails last week, but y'all wrote in today needing some advice. So we're going to help you out. I also would like to say, sometimes I think about the conversations Tanya and I have with our significant others, like if we're struggling or if we're fighting and like the things that our relationships struggle in. And I think what if like people wrote in about these things, what our advice would be?
I would tell myself.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I would just like to preface these emails with saying, I know it's different when you're in the relationship because there's certain things where I think we reach out to each other and talk about things and I always wonder what if someone wrote in about these things, we'd be like, you need to get out of that relationship, and we'd be like be so dramatic in it. But I just want you all to know that we are aware that it's easier to say things from the outside looking in.
Yes. 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 And Becca is right, because there are multiple times where I look at myself and I'm like, what would I tell myself if I was writing in or something like that, you know what I mean? And the advice changes.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I do think that sometimes it's important to hear those things and then you digest them.
I agree.
You sit with them and you reflect and you really just kind of sit with it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what, when we give advice on this stuff, it is for you to think about a different perspective.
Yeah.
And maybe it just sits in the back of your head. And if things continue to get worse or they don't get better, you have those words, you know, of advice to lean on.
Yeah.
But love is complicated. Relationships are complicated.
Especially in a pandemic.
And there's not always just a white or black answer. So anyways, let's get started. Mark?
I can't wait to get started. But first, you have got to check out these incredible sponsors of Scrubbing In. before I get to these emails, I feel like we should tease the mini episode this week, Tanya.
I'm so stoked.
I know you are.
Because not only am I stoked about this, but they're actually now a sponsor of the podcast.
Win, win, win,
win,
win.
Did your work.
Yeah, we have Lauren Schulte Wong on the podcast. She is the founder and I believe creator of the Flex, which is one of the menstrual cups. Mm-hmm. So she's going to come on and kind of, I want her to talk about the journey of why she came, how does she come up with this idea from like inception to creation to being on the shelves, how long that process took. And then I want to also talk about like how hard it was for her to kind of get it off the ground, because I still think even now people are a little bit like squeamish about a menstrual cup. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know when that she started this, but I feel like probably back then people were like,
oh yeah, even more so.
Even more yeah. so. And it's such like a man's world, you know, investors.
Yeah.
It's really hard for females to get investment, especially in things like that. So we're going to hear from her.
Fantastic. That's going to be out on Thursday. All right, emails. This is from Brittany. How do you guys feel about your significant other looking at provocative photos of other women or men? Porn, Instagram, websites that have these types of photos. Does it make you feel insecure? My boyfriend says every guy does it, and any guy who says he doesn't do it is lying.
Side note, I just got a response about the toilet paper Red Star. And he said, there is no such thing as an under toilet paper person, only over or wrong. Strong.
You know, Red Star, it's like we just get each other. Wow, that feels validating, because Tanya sat like looking at me with the most like the same look that she looked at me while I was talking to the dog psychic, the dog communicator. Right. The same look of just like, you idiot. So I feel validated.
He's never mentioned it to me before.
Well, it's an important.
You know, it's possible that you put him on the wrong way and he fixed him and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I do that to people's toilet paper if I go somewhere.
Very true.
So that's kind of a funny thing. So the mini episodes, we said, what do you guys want to do? And Becca said, I want to talk to my dog via psychic. And Tanya said, I got to talk about my menstrual cup. And just announced sometime before the end of the year, we're doing a Mark and Easton show.
Yes.
Or an Easton and Mark show. It's going to be the boys.
Takeover
for a mini episode.
And then one other mini episode is going to be our highs and lows of the year.
Oh, fun.
Like, you know, and we're going to drink for that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So we'll do the lows first and have a little sippy sip after each low. And then we'll
get high.
And then we'll dream. Yeah, and then we'll dream for 2021 and it'll be fun.
All right. I just read you an email. What do you want to say to Brittany?
Oh, Brittany, this is what I have to say. I don't like it. I would like to think that not every guy and every girl or whatever looks at pornographic or provocative photos of other women or men. But I could just be totally naive and wrong.
I mean, we have two men here.
I was going to say, we could turn the tables over to the men that we have in the room.
Do most men do these things?
Yes, and all men have done these things. But I think every relationship is different, and you have to establish your parameters of what you're comfortable with. And if he knows that you're not comfortable with this and he keeps doing that, that's a red flag. We're not telling you got to go or whatever, you know, we're not the ones that tell you to end your relationship. But I do think it's a bad sign if he keeps doing it after he knows it bothers you.
I have a friend that I was talking to the other day, and she was saying that she's kind of seeing a guy, and it's a complicated, they're not officially together, but, you know, they're seeing each other and they're sleeping together. And she said that she woke up and he had on his photo, it was like an advent calendar, but it was a 10 second video, or like a girl like taking off her, you know, just something like that. And she was like, what are you? I'm literally in bed next to you. Like, what are you doing? And he was like, it's just something my friend sent me. It's just like 10 seconds every day.
Oh, no.
And she was like, well, if we're like together, sleeping together, I'll send you photos. But like, don't do that. And especially don't do it right in front. Or she said something like, if you want those kind of photos, I'll send them to you if you'll stop looking at that. And he was like, okay. And I was like, He's not going to stop looking at that. So now he's going to get a photo of you or a video of you and that.
Here's my take on it. I've never been one to, like, if they're going to watch porn, I do feel like there's this thing with, like, dudes and they just, like, watch. They're like, they steal their dad's Playboys or back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, there's this weird thing. I don't get it because I don't enjoy porn myself. So it's like, it's hard for me to grasp that. Mm-hmm. I don't judge it. I have never found porn on Red Stars anything, and I think I would be hurt if I did, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be, it wouldn't be like a deal breaker for me. However, if it was like, one of those sites where they like do it and you tell them, like you're talking to them, I would have mm-hmm. a major problem mm-hmm. with that, like with the 3D or like the combos. But like watching a video, I feel like wouldn't bother me as much. I don't know.
I wouldn't like it. And I think you have every right not to like it. So if you're uncomfortable with it, like Mark said, I think you establish that you're uncomfortable with it. And if he continues to do it and can't stop looking at photos of other girls or guys or whatever he's doing, then that's something to think about. Because I could be wrong, but it doesn't. The person I'm in a relationship with said, I'm uncomfortable with you doing that, it hurts me, it makes me feel jealous and insecure, I would take that and think, all right, that's not something, these photos that aren't even like real life aren't worth me losing my relationship over. So
and he's gonna push back, he's gonna be like, oh, are you my mom now? Oh, suddenly I'm gonna be the only guy in the world who can look at new girls. Everyone does it. He's gonna push back, and that's to be expected, and that's okay. Hopefully, while he pushes back, the next time he thinks about it, or next time a buddy sends him something or something, he's going to feel guilty about it and he's going to phase it out. So it may not be a light switch off, but hopefully he realizes he respects you and that needs to change.
Yeah.
Next one. This is from Jessica. My boyfriend and I have been together 2.5 years. It's not been a perfect fairy tale, to say the least. This week I find out he cheated early in our relationship, sometime within the first year of dating. He refused to tell me if it was once, more than once, what he did, and what happened. He swears that for the past year, since we started living together, he's been totally faithful. Where do we go from here?
This is a hard no for me.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know what you were going to say. Yeah, that, I would say get out. If he can't even just acknowledge how many times it happened and he won't even share that information with you, there's other stuff he's not sharing with you.
I'm not a big, like, once a cheater, always a cheater type gal. Like, I don't really believe in that. I believe in grace and I believe in forgiveness. However, I do believe if you cheat, there is a huge character flaw in you somewhere. There's some character, something that's not right that would, I couldn't get past that part. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be necessarily be worried that he was going to cheat on me again, but I would have such an issue with that character flaw, because to me, cheating is just like the ultimate disrespect.
Yeah. I just don't see you being able to trust him again.
Yeah. Like, if it was once or twice or 10 times.
Yeah. I just see you being in this limbo of always wondering where he is, who he's talking to, no matter where he goes.
And here's what was her name?
Her name is Jessica.
Jessica, here's my question to you. And really think about this. What is stopping you from not being with this guy?
Well, they do live together.
That's not the reason to stay. It's fear. We don't do a lot of things because of fear. Fear that we won't find somebody else. Fear of starting over again. Fear of whatever, fill in the blank. And I think that's what stops us from doing the thing that we feel like in our gut is what we should do.
Mm-hmm. The question you ask at the end is, where do we go from here? You can't go anywhere from here, because the only place you can go from is a place of total honesty. And if he's still not being honest about what happened, then you can't go anywhere from here. Now, if he wants to tell you exactly what happened, not details, but how many women, how many times, over what period of time, then you can deal with that, process that, and decide where you want to go from there. But you can't go anywhere until all the cards are on the table, because you need to start anew with total honesty. And you need to both make a commitment to total honesty. And he can't even do that to this point. So we got real problems.
The relationship can be rebuilt, and but it's just going to take so much work. And, you know, we all love Jana Kramer and Michael Costin, but they've made their relationship work. But, oh boy, I don't think I've ever spoken to them where they weren't going to therapy after whatever we were doing. Like, they're in individual therapy, they're in couples therapy. It takes so much work from both people to come back from something like that. And it is possible, but you just got to think, like, am I willing to have my relationship change this much? That's something I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like in Mike and Jana were married with a child. And so there, I think a lot of that came from, let's try and make this work. And I mean, they're so open and honest about how hard it is. So you're in a relationship, you don't have the commitment of marriage or a child together. Is this the person that you really see as your future? Like, is everything else just so great that the cheating, the working through the cheating feels worth it right now?
Yeah.
Because that's a lot.
Another key element of this particular email is when she said, "This week I found out that he cheated early in our relationship. It's not that he confessed. Right. He felt guilty. Mm-hmm. He had to tell you." She found out. So he was still actively keeping this from her. So you deserve better than a guy who's going to cheat on you, completely keep it from you, continue to keep information from you, but wants to keep going like everything's fine. You deserve better than that.
I agree. I'm sorry, Jessica. That's awful.
It's true, though. Everything, just fear.
Tanya's still going.
That's what I'm realizing, is just fear.
Well, isn't there a quote like, everything you want in life is on the other side of fear?
Yeah, because it's like everything at its core, every decision that we make is rooted somewhere in fear. It's true. I had a light bulb moment in therapy last week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, yeah. You just wait.
What?
Taylor Swift on them. Oh, when I come back in 2021, I'm going to cocoon for a week. I'm going to like just go off the grid and just like write in my journals and like do my vision board. And I'm going to come in hot like a Taylor Swift album, and just with them Easter eggs, you're going to be like, what?
Oh, good. I feel like every vision board you've done has Easter eggs accidentally.
Very avant-garde.
Mm-hmm. You love saying avant-garde. It's like one of those things that you just throw in, and even if it's kind of like questionable.
Yeah, it just makes me sound chic, I feel.
Well, on that note, it's time for us to say goodbye.
And it's nighttime. Do you want to go look at Christmas lights in Toluga Lake?
I can't tonight, but I would be down another night this week.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a shutdown live on the podcast.
Welcome to Story of My Life.
Oh, God, eye roll. We love you guys.
Love you.
Have a great week. Be safe. Be kind. Be awesome. And
be fearless.
Be fearless and be the queen of your life and the king of your life.
And the infinity pool.
And be in an infinity pool that Tanya wants to swim in forever.
Forever.
And just know that even if winter isn't your favorite season, it is the best time of the year.
Correct. Always know that.
Always remember.
Never forget it.
And never forget it.
Should I learn how to play the guitar?
Oh, no, because that would mean that vocals would happen, and that is not something we need.
I think I could do it.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
easy?
I think, no, it's very, it hurts. I think like, it's it hurts really your not fingers. Easy. It's not easy at all.
It's not.
Yeah, but I love really that hard. You see other people do it who have been doing it for years, and you're like, well, that looks easy. I'll do that.
I'm looking for something to do on my vacation.
You should maybe like knit or something. That seems more your speed.
Knit? When did I, what do I want to be a 90-year-old lady for?
What? Do you see the things people are able to create?
Okay.
Young people?
Okay.
Relax. Judgy.
Knit.
I got my sister a sewing machine for Christmas.
Becca's just personally offended because she got it as a Christmas gift for somebody. She's like,
not
knitting. Is cool.
I do think knitting's cool, but my sister's going to learn to sew, and when I have some homemade clothing items.
Oh, I'm going to be jealous.
I know how to knit, and it's very cool. Let me tell you. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really cool, what's it, talent. Like, I really do think it is cool.
I mean, I just think it, like, is cooler if I'm sitting on my couch with a guitar instead of, like, a crochet needle.
But are you singing? Because it's not cool, you know?
Yeah, I'm singing. Are you kidding?
You're like, you, I love that you sing and don't care, but you're quite, like, tone deaf.
Yeah, that's an issue, your tone deafness. But go ahead, go for it. You got 2 weeks on the show on January 4th. Play us a song. Play us what you've learned.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay, I should get a guitar. Those yeah, expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive. maybe you can find a used one.
A used one or a toy one.
Okay.
Maybe a ukulele.
Maybe a ukulele. Yeah.
And then how do I learn? Do I just YouTube it, you think? You know, I'll figure
you know,
it out.
I actually taught myself some chords on YouTube, so you could do that. Just some basics, yeah.
Okay.
Well, on that note, if there was ever a teaser for the new year, there it is. We love you guys. Stream Evermore. And we'll be back for our mini episode on Thursday. So check it out. Bye.